Deuteronomy. Lord willing, we're going to finish regarding the different tribes of Israel, as far as the sons of Jacob, the prophecy that Moses gave, and he was looking far, far down into the millennium, because he was not going to go into that land of Canaan, but he will be in heaven, and we will see him, and we will be glad to be there. Tonight we're going to begin with the 18th verse. I'll read the verses that we're going to cover verse by verse. Verse 18, of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and of treasures hid in the sand. Zebulun's name means dwelling, and Issachar's name means hired. We find those meanings over in chapters 29 and 30 of Genesis. I would like to look at the prophecy that Jacob gave concerning both of these sons, Zebulun and Issachar, in Genesis 49. We see here in Genesis 49, verses 13 and 14, that Jacob gives them each an individual prophecy. We see here in Deuteronomy that they're joined together. The prophecy in Genesis 49, verse 13, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Mom brought out in her studies in Genesis, they were kind of intertwined with the world. They were looking to the world for their sustenance. Then in verse 14, Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. He crouched in this world. He got his warmth. Mom gave the example of how the manure was put between the sheepfolds, and that's where the camels laid, of which the ass laid, to get their warmth. Well, they were servants. Here in Genesis 49, Issachar was a servant, that he was hired to the nations. He was a servant. He was a slave. Now over here, we know in Genesis 14:39, Zebulun was looking to the world, as I said, for his sustenance. The Gentile nations, who were all idolatrous nations, this was out of God's order. We do not look to anywhere but to God for our sustenance. We don't dare look to the world to provide what they can give us. Yes, the Lord uses the world to provide what he wants us to have. We thank him for it. We give him the glory. But we do not look to the world for them to provide for us. Because this is out of God's order. This is what Zebulun was doing in Genesis 49. They were looking to the world. God is our provider. Jesus is our husband. He has already proved his love for us. If he can't provide for his bride, those that want to be in the bride, he can't provide for anyone. He is our provider. He is our head. Now over here in Deuteronomy 33, in the prophecy that Moses gives regarding these two sons, Moses is looking forward to the millennium. Israel at this time will have acknowledged their Messiah. So they're coming in and they're going out. Will be based on him, on their Messiah. They will glorify him. He will protect them. In everything that they do, they're going in and they're going out. This speaks of their daily activities. God was the one that was taking care of them. And that's what's going to happen. God is going to be the only one that takes care of Israel, provides her need, protects her, looks after her, because that one-third is going to be Jehovah's bride. Let's look regarding this in Psalm 121. We see here that what Jehovah is going to do. And what Psalm 121 will begin with the fifth verse. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord, and this is Jehovah, is thy shader, thy shield and guard. Upon thy right hand, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, in regards to Issachar, remember how they were slaves to the nations, how they were hired out? When you're hired out, you don't stay at home. You go to the place you're hired. Well, Israel will be, it says, Issachar will dwell in thy tents. Issachar in thy tents. Israel will be in the land of their pilgrimage. They'll be in that land that God gave them. They will no longer be slaves to the Gentile nations. They will be totally His. They will be dependent upon Jehovah. In this 19th verse, they shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. They shall call the people. This word call here means to summon. Israel is going to summon, especially for that Feast of Tabernacles. Jerusalem at that time is going to be the center of the world. Let's look at Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8, and I would like to begin with the 20th verse. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and after the inhabitants of many cities, and this is after the tribulation, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take a hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. They will be hearkened unto that city. Then we see that they will be called, that they shall call the people unto the mountain. Let's look back in Exodus 15. I found this today, and I thought it was wonderful. Moses here, he was looking forward to this time. Exodus 15, and we'll begin with the 11th verse. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swalloweth them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestinia. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Let's look at Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, and we'll start with the second verse. And this is speaking of this time of which we're studying. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Let's look at Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. And we know there'll be only one king. Oh, verse 16. The Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up. Now it speaks that they shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. Let's turn to Psalms 4 and the 5th verse. Psalms 4 and the 5th verse. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Then let's look over at Psalm 51 and the 19th verse. We'll begin with the 18th. Psalm 51, 18. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bullocks upon thine altar. When a sacrifice is offered righteously, that is, in a spiritual manner, it sets forth Jesus, the Redeemer, the great sin-atoning Lamb of God. When we offer sacrifices of righteousness, what is a sacrifice? It's something that you give of yourself. You sacrifice. Sacrifices of righteousness. We see here in this 19th verse about, and whole burnt offering, then they shall offer bullocks upon thine altar. The bullock was the best of the offerings that could be offered as a burnt offering. We read that in Leviticus 1. The bullock represents the highest degree of apprehension of what Jesus was as the burnt offering. The bullock represents Christ as the patient and enduring servant, obedient unto death. That bullock, they were to offer bullocks upon thine altar. Jesus offered himself as a bullock. He was wholly dedicated unto the will of his Father. Then on down in that verse, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. This suck literally means to suck. Israel shall be enriched with all the wealth of all the nation. Let's look at Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, I would like to read verses 3 through 6, and then we'll skip down a ways. Isaiah 60, verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see, and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The wealth, this word forces, is wealth of the Gentiles, shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Now let's skip on down to verse 9. Surely the isle shall wait for me in the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers, or the sons of the Gentiles, shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gate shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the Gentiles, and that their king may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency or majesty, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, shalt suck the breast of the kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Israel will be made rich. Revelation 21. Okay. Revelation 21, 23 to 25. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And all the nations which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor and into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Wonderful time. Let's go on down verses 20 and 21 regarding Gad. Gad's name means a troop. In verse 20 it says, and of Gad he said, blessed be he, and this he here is God, that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. Blessed be he, and this is speaking of God, that enlargeth Gad. Enlargeth here means to broaden. God is the only one who enlarged the area in which Gad would inhabit. It will be he who will remove all the people and the nations that occupy what actually belongs to Israel. Israel was given a sizable amount of land, and God is the one that is going to move those occupants off the land, because it is their land. It was given to Abraham, and they are the seed of Abraham. We'll read in Genesis 15, 18 in a little bit. Now, it says, he dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of his head. Israel, as a new creation nation, will have the area of land east of Jordan, clear to the river Euphrates. The land that God gave them was from the river Nile to the river Euphrates. Israel, that will be their land. In verse 21, and he provided, this word provided means he saw, and he saw the first part for himself. I would like to turn to Numbers 32 right now. This is a sad account, but I know God allowed it. This is the chapter of Numbers 32 is entitled Stopping Short of Canaan. These, as we'll read, stop short of Canaan. They weren't willing to take their place in death, burial, and resurrection. In verse 1 of Numbers 32, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that, behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and said unto the princes of the congregation, saying, these cities, in verse 3 and then in verse 4, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore they said, if we have found grace in thy sight, they're speaking to Moses, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. They knew what lay ahead of them. Jordan laid ahead of them, but they wanted what they saw right now. Isn't that a lot like people today? Well, we have glory ahead of us, but I want what I have right now. That's what these tribes, these two and a half tribes, said. Now I would like to go down to verse 16. We know, we're going to read here verse 16. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. It was their own choice. And in verse 20, okay, Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So we go on down to verse 33. We know they agreed that they would go over and help in the fight to gain Canaan. So in verse 33, and Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben and unto half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with the cities thereof in the coasts, even the cities of the country round about. These 2.5 tribes would not cross Jordan, but they would as tribes. The men that went to war, they did cross Jordan, and they fought right alongside the rest of the tribes, and they didn't return until Canaan was possessed. Now let's look over in Joshua 22. We see where they were able to return. They did in fact do just exactly what Moses is prophesying here. He gave them a portion. Moses gave him a portion. Then this tribe came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. They did go over and they did fight. When the fighting was done, they came back. In Joshua 22, let's begin with the first verse. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he hath promised them. Now therefore return ye and get you unto your tents and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went into their tents. They settled for something far less than what God had promised to give them. They did not want to cross Jordan. They did not want to go down into death, come back up out of Jordan. We know that speaks to us of going down into death with Christ, coming forth a new creation. That is so necessary if we're going to walk with the Lord in all the fullness that he wants us to walk in. That's the lawgiver. They wanted to stay on that side of Jordan. Anybody want to be under law? But I did. I noticed there in Numbers where it said, I'm going to do this, or we're going to do this. It's nothing. Nothing was said, well, we'll look to the Lord. It's me. And isn't that what legalism is today? What I can do to keep myself saved? If I do this or that or the other thing, oh, I might lose my salvation. Or, oh, you know, you've got to work for the Lord. Let's look at verse 22. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. Dan's name means judging. A lion's whelp. Dan is a lion's whelp. This whelp is a cub that is still nursing on its mother's teats, dependent. This leap here, which he shall leap from Bashan. This leap means spring forth with violence. Bashan wasn't Dan's inheritance. Let's turn, I'll give you the reference of Joshua 19. Let's look at Joshua 19:47. If you look on the map later, you'll see that Dan's inheritance was down farther south. It was close to Naphtali. It was close to Judah. But let's see the reason for them moving, going up north in Joshua 19:47. And the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Therefore the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem and took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and possessed it, and dwelt therein, and called Leshem, Dan, after the name of Dan, their father. They weren't satisfied with what the Lord gave them as their inheritance. They wanted something different. I wanted in a different area. We see that a lot today. I'm not satisfied with what the Lord has blessed me with. I want something else. I want something more. Well, if we don't walk in the will of the Lord and what the Lord has ordained for us, we're not going to prosper. We've got to walk and live in what the Lord has given us. Bashan was not, the area of Bashan was not given to them. Let's look at verse 23. I like the truth we found here in Naphtali. Naphtali in verse 23. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor, and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. His name means wrestling. He's satisfied with favor. He's filled to satisfaction. Filled with favor. Favor means pleasant, agreeable to anyone. This nation's warfare will be ended at this time. Israel will have nothing to fear. They will be free of any onslaught from the Gentile. This full with the blessing of the Lord. I found this and I thought it was wonderful. Those who are favorably regarded by God need nothing more that can be desired. Let's start over. Those who are favorably regarded by God need nothing more, can desire nothing better. To have the good will of the triune God is life indeed. It's the acme. Have the blessing of the Lord. And this is what the nation Israel will have at this time. Then Moses goes on to say, possess, and this word possess means occupy, the west and the south. I would like to go now to Genesis 15. This was the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham. And I want to notice in this 18th verse the wording that God used. Genesis 15:18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given. It's not I'm going to give, or I have given, but I have given. I have given. It's theirs. For this land, unto thy seed have I given this land. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Cadmonites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. The Kenites was the area of Midian and the Amalekites. The Kenizzites are the area of Edom. And we'll get to the Rephaims here in just a little bit. But all this land, from the river Euphrates, from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates, was given at that time to Abraham's seed. We want to note three things that are important about this covenant that God made with Abraham. Remember, Abraham was asleep. There was only one party to this covenant, Jehovah himself. He gave. There were no conditional attachments which man had to meet. It was given. It was given in grace. This was in the grace, the law had not been given yet. Therefore, this inheritance and grace. It was based on a sacrifice, and that is Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and what Israel's going to go through, they will have this land. And again, this covenant was based on pure grace. Remember that, pure grace. When Israel conquered Canaan and Joshua, they never actually possessed all the land, all the territory that Abraham was promised there in Genesis 15. They only occupied a small area compared to the great area that they were promised. In Numbers 34, I would like to turn back there. This Numbers 34, and we'll read a couple of verses in it. But Numbers 34 is a study regarding the territory, the boundaries that God gave to Israel. When Israel went into Canaan, they went into Canaan under a legal covenant. Remember, they were under the law. Moses had given them the law. They were under law. They weren't under grace. Under this legal covenant, they could not possess all the land. Why? Because the law limits grace. Let's read Numbers 34:6. This is the west border. And as for the western border, ye shall even have the great sea, and this is the Mediterranean Sea, for a border. This shall be your west border. Philistia, the people of Philistia, lived in that area when they lived in Canaan. If you look at your maps in the back of your Bibles, you'll see the way that 12 tribes are all in their different areas. Over here, by the Mediterranean, there's the Philistines, right there on the coast. Israel's going to have that area. Now let's look in Ezekiel 47. Mom found me a book, a map, and it shows exactly how big Israel's land is going to be. And this is what Ezekiel saw. It's going to be clear up here, what is Lebanon now, even up into Syria, clear down by the Red Sea. They were to go eat. The Lord is telling, Moses is prophesying of Naphtali to go west, go clear over to the Mediterranean because that is your land. Go south, clear down into the Sinai Peninsula because that is your land. And that's what Israel is going to do. I'll let anyone that wants to look at this see this after we have the lesson. In verses 13 to 20 of Ezekiel 47, this area that is listed in these verses is the area exactly that was promised to Abraham in Genesis 15, 18 to 21. We see in verse 17, we see the north border up by Damascus. Damascus is in Syria today. Then we see in verse 18, and this is the east side, from the border unto the east sea, and that's the Euphrates River. That's their eastern boundary. Then the south side in verse 19 is that Meribah Kadesh. And that's way down in the Sinai Peninsula. Down not very far from Mount Sinai. Then the west, in verse 20, the west side also shall be the Great Sea again. That's the Mediterranean. I would like to look in Exodus 17 because this Meribah of Kadesh, that is, you'll read here in verse 19, and the south side southward from Tamar even to the waters of strife in Kadesh. This is Meribah Kadesh. This is not, as I said, not very far from Mount Sinai, but it's down in that southern part of that Sinai Peninsula. I would like to look at Exodus 17. I want to read the first verse. This was one of the places after that they murmured at after they came out of Egypt. And this was Meribah and Massah. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. This is where in verse 7, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah. This is Meribah Kadesh. down in that Sinai Peninsula. Let's finish up with Asher in verse 24 in Deuteronomy 33. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Asher's name means happy. Asher here completes the blessing of Israel, as this nation will be preeminent all over the world. Israel will be the head of the nation. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28:13. But it's all based on one thing. Israel at this time will be in obedience, because they will be a new creation nation. They will be obedient to God. Deuteronomy 28:13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. They would be head of the nations. They would no longer be the tail. They'll be a new creation nation. They will be obedient unto God. This phrase, let him be acceptable, this nation be acceptable to his brethren. Now remember, he's going to be the head of the nations. The nations are going to look to Israel. Israel will be accepted as the head. Today they want to push her off into the sea, but at this time she is going to be accepted as the head. Nations will look to her. And the fact, let him be acceptable to his brethren, Israel will not be envied by any nation. They'll know who's the head, and they'll give Israel the honor that is due them. Then it goes on to say, and let him dip his foot in oil. This dip means immerse. Let him dip or immerse his foot in oil. This speaks of the richness and the fruitfulness which Israel will possess in their land. The nations will look to them, because they'll be the richest nation. They are the richest nation in the world, because God made it them. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Shoes here speak of a symbol of occupancy. They will occupy their land. The iron here is a symbol of firmness. They will occupy it in firmness. And the brass is a symbol of the ability to endure. They will endure because God has made them to it, because this is in God's plan. Then this strength, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. This strength in the Hebrew should read rest. As thy days, so shall thy rest be. As long as thy life endured, so long shall thy condition of rest continue, or that they would have prosperity.